That's something real?
Yeah, I'm about to go out.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I bet they didn't see this one coming. I'm in here with motherfucking Bizarre today.
What's up? What up? What up? What up?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling.
You on tour?
Kinda.
What? What's that mean? You out here doing crimes?
Yo, man.
What?
Yeah, I'm on a Cali tour.
What's that mean? That means you're checking out weed farms up north and shit?
Kinda, sorta. I just got kinda forced into it.
What, into the drug game?
He
looked at his friends like, oh God, there's gonna be some DJ Vlad shit. I'm gonna end up in the feds by the end of this.
Oh man, I don't want them boys on you, man.
No. Yeah. So the life of Bizarre, man, what's going on with you these days?
Oh man.
Let me get that back once you're done.
Shit, what's life of Bizarre? Shit, man, I'm out here in Cali. We just came from the Bay yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I'm chilling, man. I got a strand coming called Bizarre OG.
Oh, okay.
Produced by Godflower from, Detroit, weed's legal now. It's just in Michigan. We just passed it. We just voted.
So is that very exciting for the local economy?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. They closed 53 dispensaries.
Right.
A couple days ago before this happened, so.
Really?
Yeah.
So they closed them to make room for what was about to happen in the sense of like the legitimate ones about to pop up?
Yeah. I think they was setting niggas up for the okie doke.
That's what they're doing out here. All the ones that are like underground are illegal, are getting shut down, and just the legal ones are going to be allowed to stay, and the legal ones are trash because they charge too much and nobody who's really with the shits wants to go to them.
They approved 37 of them in the state of Michigan.
That's crazy.
I can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself in your headphones?
No.
That's weird. Chris, he says he can't hear himself, but I can hear him.
You can hear me?
Yeah. It's showing. Great. The levels are showing up, too. His headphone thing. You must have thought you were losing your mind. You could probably just wear these other headphones. Or Chris Long could get down there and just sort of chop it up. Nah, man. But
I can hear you now.
You can?
Oh, no, it went in and out.
Pause.
Yeah, pause that.
Pause that.
Pause that.
I got a good reaction from that one.
That's worse than a pause that.
That's an old school joke. That always gets a good reaction. I used to be really saying no homo like all the time.
Wow.
Like nope. Every other word.
In and out.
Yeah. Just use these headphones. So that's the crazy thing about doing interviews live. You could just have a headphone malfunction. Hopefully you don't walk out of here like the girl I interviewed the other day.
Hello? Somebody walked out of here?
Yeah, a girl.
Wow.
Yeah, she was in her feelings. It was rough.
Damn.
That's the Bear Woods OG right there, just for the record. That's that good shit.
Okay. What's the best strand out right now?
That one. I don't know. Everybody always talks about gelato and shit in the music. I feel like that's what everybody won't shut up about. Sherblotto. I feel like people just follow Burner's lead. Whatever Burner's doing, they just take that. It's just, that's the cool shit.
Right. See, I still fuck with Headman.
Uh-huh. I don't know what the fuck I'm smoking. People hand me blunts. People hand me a big sack of weed. I'm not asking what the fuck it is. I'm just smoking it.
Wow.
Yeah. Man, I was just... Okay, let's just jump into some high energy
meaning shit.
Let's talk about this. I was just watching this fucking diss song that you did.
Okay.
Where you were calling out Jay Electronica, Joe Budden, et cetera. Uh-huh. Man, you still got it in you. You're mad as fuck in that one.
I'm cool, man.
I'm cool. Nah, but I want to know, like, what was it? Okay, so you're observing this whole situation.
Right.
And I mean, you know, Eminem is as such, he's so big that people feel the need to talk about all the fucking time. Right. What was it about this situation that made you be like, I'm going to jump in the ring and just make some content off this shit?
Oh, shit. Well, basically, you know, dude just kept saying my name, you know what I'm saying?
MGK or Joe Budden?
Joe Budden.
Right.
MGK, I got nothing to do with that. It was just me.
That was just you laughing.
Warning. Yeah, okay. Giving, like... Dude, you really want to do this. But Joe, You know, he just kept saying my name, and in a very, very disrespectful way. You know what I'm saying? To the point where I feel like I don't have a podcast, but I got one coming on the way.
I saw that.
By the way, Bizarre's World. Plug.
I want to come on it. I want to be on that shit.
Man, for real. We got to do it, man.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, man, I feel like, you know, I don't have a podcast. I don't have a platform to say something back. So, like, you know, he kept saying this shit about, you ain't spoke to Marshall in 18 years. I was just like, that shit just got me like red fire. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, what the fuck? Why does motherfucker keep saying this dumbass, retarded type shit?
When's the last time you talked to Eminem? Is there any truth to that? Do you not talk to him very, very frequently?
I seen Marshall 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Where at?
Detroit.
He still comes around, like?
Oh, yeah. Fairly studio. If you ever catch him, just go to the studio.
Okay. I'm pulling
there
up.
Every day.
Really?
Pull up, man. He's going to be there. It's like a 9 to 5 to him. You know what I'm saying?
They'll be like, who's there? I'll be like, it's Adam. They'll be like, who the fuck is that?
Bizarre's boy.
Bizarre's boy. Yes. Right. That's what I'm going to say. Did you see? You saw my Eminem Halloween costume, right?
Yeah, I see.
That shit was pretty good, right?
I see you. Slim Shady Halloween.
It was so good because I interviewed Exhibit like that.
Wow. What did he say, man?
He just thought it was funny as fuck. And I was saying to him, I'm like, yo, you remember when we were when we battled outside that lunch truck?
Right.
Like an 8 Mile? I'm like, why were you making fun of that gay guy outside of the lunch truck back in the day?
Man, 8 Mile. Still on repeat.
Oh, man. I mean, 8 Mile is like one of those movies I've seen so many times that it's just certain scenes like that are just buried in my brain. I never watch a movie more than once. And for some reason, I've seen that like 10 times. So it's just certain things.
They always come on TV like at the weirdest times. Right? Yeah. You just like, what the fuck?
I remember I went to a museum one time and there's just a sign that said like, we're just showing 8 Mile. This is many years after it came out. And I was like, fuck yeah, we watching 8 Mile in the fucking museum.
Oh man.
Okay, but so Joe Budden was
okay.
But from your perspective, were you 100% cool with Joe Budden until he did that like review of the Eminem album? Where he, I believe in your opinion, he like violated by going a little overboard talking about M's album on Everyday Struggle?
I just feel like this, man. You know, Joe Budden's, he did a diss record towards D12 many years ago. Not a diss record, a line towards us a long time ago. And it was like, we went on tour with him in Canada, but we had to have a big talk with him about that. And we got past that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, all of a sudden they got signed to Shady Slaughterhouse. So, you know.
Were you approving of that when that happened?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we made it happen, you know what I'm saying, with our support, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, let Marshall know that everything was good with Joe Budden's. You know what I'm saying? So just to come from that, and then reemerge as family, we did a whole tour together for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then for you to get on your platform and then say, like, the wildest shit you possibly could say, you know what I'm saying? That just had me fucking mad. That's my boy, man. I'm going to always support. No matter what the fuck we go through, like, you know what I'm saying? I just don't like somebody that's disloyal, man, to a person that helped your career literally have a second start.
It's a weird position for him to be in, though, because it's like previously he's a rapper, Joe Budden. And when you're a rapper, you know, loyalty and not disrespecting people and stuff is a big deal. And then all of a sudden you're in like the podcast game and you're making content and stuff. And once you're in that world, it's kind of like, oh, shit, now you have to have an opinion about the new Eminem record. You have to, you know, talk shit, essentially, you know, not even talk shit. Right. But like, and I think that's been something that he's sort of dealt with, in the sense that I don't see him jump out the window like he might have jumped out the window in that episode, and especially when you consider that, you know, he had a business relationship with Eminem.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. But after all that happened, then he comes back on his podcast and says, I'll wear your ass out. For the last 10 years, I've been better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
He been wanting to say that. That's the real joke. He could not hold it back any longer. You know what I'm saying? He expressed to the world, this is me. This is who I am. And you know, y'all got to see it. I ain't going to say nothing about it. Just the guy contradicts his own self all the time. He is his own worst enemy.
But so do you think that he is basically wrapped up in self-hatred because he didn't make it as a rapper like Eminem did?
I think he's a selfish guy. I think he's not a guy's guy. Being around him for 2 months on tour, he doesn't give a fuck about the football game or what's going on TV. I mean, he gives what's on TV. But, like, he's not a guy's guy. He's not, you know, he'd rather hang out with, like, four or five females. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look on his podcast, you know, when he was talking about Pusha T and Drake, and he said, you know, it was cool for guys to pillow talk. He pillow talks with his girl all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you pillow talk?
You know, I feel like my girl's she's one of my closest associates. She knows pretty much everything I got going on, but she's also not the type of girl that's like talking to any other dudes. So,
right,
I'm not that worried about it.
I mean, we all pillow talk and tell our mates things, but will you admit it?
Pillow talking to like a random ass groupie and is real problematic.
Would you get on your podcast and like, yo, bro, I tell my girl everything. We have no secrets, so no matter what the fuck y'all went through, or y'all just ran a train on a hoe, or
oh no, there's definitely secrets. Definitely, yeah. You know, there's things that we do or that we don't talk about with the world. Yeah,
because we're guys,
right? You're a big believer in the guy code. So that was your read on Joe Budden, though, is that he just didn't really get along with the boys on tour.
Okay, let me show you how this plans out. This is when I said I'm out with Joe Budden's. He left me a tweet when we were beefing. He left me a tweet that said, "Bizarre. You don't want me to talk about those whores that you had on tour that you got off of Backpage."
Ooh. Is that your lane? I'm going to be honest. That seems kind of on brand for you.
I'm glad I ain't married. God damn.
Yeah.
Talk about a motherfucker fucking you up.
You felt like he just snitched on you right there.
What you think?
I mean, you're having a good time on tour. What's wrong with that? I was trying to get my girl to give one of the strippers some money last night to go home with us last night.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I got a type of relationship, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've never paid for sex, but I'm like kind of trying to. I feel like, you know, just giving a stripper some money to come home with you, that's kind of cool. I would like to contribute to the local economy, you know?
Say that one more time.
I'd like to give these hoes some money. To fuck. And I don't see anything wrong with that. What's wrong with that?
It's better.
Yeah.
It's better because you're paying for them to leave you alone. You know what I'm saying? Because trust me, I've been doing this shit for 20 years. And man, fucking a chick on the road and the bitch calling you and fucking up your real shit and going through all that, man, you don't want that shit.
Right.
You see all these guys today, they stumbling, they getting caught up in all type of bullshit. Look, for all y'all motherfucking young ass rappers,
fuck hookers.
Pay for a hooker. You know how I learned this? I learned all this game from a white man
who
told me, or I'm a road manager, who told me, what are you doing, man? Look, you can get on the internet and find a bitch, pick the picture out, and she shows up to your door. Like, but sometimes the bitch don't look like the picture.
Is that a problem?
No.
Because who gives a fuck? Yo, but to be fair, you aired Joe Budden out hardcore because in that song, you were saying that he was asking you for Percocets. Uh-huh. He was talking about, you said you did coke with him?
Oh, man.
That's gangster.
Yeah.
Damn, I'd like to do some coke with Joe Budden. I smoked a cig with him. And I felt kind of cool about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a start.
Heavy cigarette smoker.
A line would be better, though.
A line?
A couple lines. Nah, like, I don't even want to know what the coked out Joe Budden conversation between me and him would be like.
I ain't say I snorted some coke. I say I got him some coke.
Oh, okay.
I'm the, you need something. They call my bag the case bag on tour. It's the case bag because, like, managers don't want to touch it. They don't want to touch my bag.
When I was looking at the questions from fans on Twitter, that was one of the main things that people seemed like they really wanted to know about you is, like, if you're really still partying hard and how you can maintain hard.
I'm the pill guy, man. That's my real name, man, the pill guy.
Yeah?
I can give these young rappers some game about the, you know, the pill world. I can tell them how not to get burned.
How do you not get burned, though? Because I used to mess around with that. I had to fall back because it was taking its toll on me.
First of all, try to do this shit Do this shit when you partying, man. Having fun. Don't do that shit every fucking day of your life. And you got to be stronger mentally than the drug. That's
no, that's real. I mean, yeah. If you want to put yourself through that, going through the fucking hangovers and withdrawals and shit.
If you have a very compulsive personality, I wouldn't advise drugs for you. If you real compulsive and you do shit routinely, you don't know how to stop, then I wouldn't advise you do drugs.
What's your primary vice, though?
My primary advice?
Vice. Like, if you were going to get fucked up, like, what? You say you're the pill guy. Were you a Xan guy, a perk guy?
I don't like Xans. Xans make you, might end up in prison.
Oh, that's real.
You can wake up and black out. You know, I want nothing that. I'm a Percocet guy, man. A Vicodin guy, man. A Molly. I don't want to go too far.
Mm-hmm.
But, like.
You drinking while you do all this?
I don't drink at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Pills and drinks don't go together. That's a
roller coaster waiting to happen, yeah.
That's how you fucking up.
Yeah, I used to be fucking up.
Do these guys speeding uppers and downers? Do these kids really know what upper and downer is?
I used to just be on the Jameson cocaine Xanax combo.
God, that's deadly.
Yeah, man.
That's gangster.
That's why I had to fall back.
That's gangster. You were going hard.
A little too hard, yeah.
You were going hard.
That's a wild way to live, man.
Right.
Right.
But you know, like, fake pills is out here, man. You got to be careful of that, man. Like, I'm going to tell you a little secret, man. Grab your phone, take the light out, iPhone, put it up to the pill. Make sure it's glossy. If it's not glossy, if it's not shining,
then it's pressed.
It's pressed and it's not real.
Really?
Throw that shit away. Don't take it.
Yeah, have you been burnt by the fentanyl gods?
Yes.
Really? Have you, like, ended up in the hospital or?
No. I just been burned by the fake pill guys.
Mm-hmm. Like,
the pressure is real, especially in Atlanta.
Really?
This shit is real. This shit is real out here.
Damn.
So that would be one advice, you know.
Don't drink on them.
As far as Molly, there is no more real Molly out here. So stop that, period. It's fentanyl.
Yeah?
There's no real Molly left. I mean, maybe overseas somewhere.
Right.
But
so
in LA maybe.
Just to get back to this though, do you feel like Joe Budden, by saying the thing about the prostitutes, that he was fucking airing you out in a way that, you know, that's not the guy code. And that made you feel comfortable with saying something about like him doing drugs and shit on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to disrespect for him in the worst way because he don't give a fuck about respect and the shit that he kept on saying about me in his podcast. Like, I'm gonna tell you some real shit that, you know, I didn't wish on him, but I said something about his dog. You know what I'm saying? On the song. And I got a dog. Don't get it twisted, I'm a dog lover. But I wanted to disrespect him in the worst way. Like, I wanna disrespect you when you fucking wanna fight me. You know what I'm saying? Because you keep disrespecting me with all this wild shit you keep saying about me. So, you know, he did a podcast later on where he said something about his dog having a tumor and it went through. Like, you know what I'm saying? His dog survived.
You think that's fair game?
I mean, yeah, man. It's, you know, so that lets you know it touched him, even though he didn't want to speak on it or whatever. I'm just like, I'm at the point, man, look, just stop talking about Marshall. And I'll stop talking about you. Because he was wanting to throw me out the ring. Like, we don't got to listen to nothing Bizarre's talking about. He's irrelevant. He's nobody. He hasn't talked to Eminem in 18 years. So that's how he dismisses me. But I don't feel like you need to be in the ring with Eminem. I don't think you that good to be in the ring with Eminem. You come over here, get with me right quick. Respond to me right quick. And then, you know, let's see how it goes. And then maybe you'll get in the ring with the king. But you're not worthy. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel like when somebody disses Marshall that it's kind of your job to go at them, or is it just this specific scenario?
It's this specific, man. Marshall been in so many damn beefs in his life. I've been in so many beefs. You know what I'm saying? I'm at the end of the day, I'm my own man. But, you know, when I feel like personal, like you was really a part of the crew and you violating to a certain degree, and you know he can't respond or say anything, then I'm going to say something. I'm going to be the voice. I'm going to be the voice for everybody. When I dissed Joe Budden, I ain't had nobody's approval. I ain't did nobody hear shit. Mm-hmm. I just did what the fuck I do because that's who I am. I'm going to be a protector of my crew. You know what I'm saying? And that's just it. And if you don't like it, it's whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but I ain't going to fight all his battles. Hell no, man. I'm too grown. I got too much other shit going on, man.
What has to happen with Joe Budden? Do you want to get in the ring with him and square off? Or do you want him to make a song about you? Or what's the ideal scenario?
I just told you. I just want him to stop talking about Marshall. And I stopped talking about him. Or just stop talking about me. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. That's, you know, once I put the disc record out, I said I was going to bury it. That was, you know what I'm saying? That was my last. But I was in a real bad mood that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is, man, I just, maybe I shouldn't have said that about Jay Electronica. But.
Do you think, because, like, I've been kind of amazed by how popular Joe Budden has become as a podcaster and everything.
His podcast is dope. I like it.
Yeah. No, he's good. It's just like, it's been kind of crazy to see him go from someone who was like a not that popular rapper for so long, right, and then for him to be so beloved as a podcaster. It's kind of insane. But how do you feel
he's
like...
He's better than you? You think he's a better podcaster than you?
I mean, kind in a way. I mean, it's hard for me to judge because I think objectively he's like my favorite hip-hop podcast guy. And part of that is kind of because he's a little crazy. He's a little out there. He's like a little likely to just throw you a curveball opinion-wise and just take some crazy-ass stance that you might not be expecting. But I guess that's kind of probably – I'm good. That's probably kind of why people like my shit, too, because I tend to just – I mean, I don't know. That thing ain't hitting too much.
You wrote it, didn't you?
No, nah, someone else.
Your assistant wrote it.
One of them, yeah.
You got an assistant blunt roller.
Yeah. Well, everybody works for me. I feel like that's kind of part of their whole thing. My girl doesn't even smoke weed, but I feel like she needs to learn how to roll a blunt.
And I never rolled a blunt.
Yeah.
Never.
How's that going?
Never.
How's that going for you?
Great.
But you love blunts.
Yeah. You know what? Where I'm from, like, people are so particular about who rolls it,
uh-huh,
that it's only like one designated roller in the crew. And
anyone we know?
King Gordy. King Gordy is a designated roller for us.
Okay.
He puts 3.5 in every wood. I don't like backwoods either, but, you know.
I feel like the backwood rolling is kind of like a totem pole of command, though, that, like, the top dude usually doesn't. But then a lot of times I see, like, really, really popping rappers who they still roll their own blunts just because they love it.
Damn. Motherfuckers rolling on blunts out here?
I mean, they probably just like the feel, you know?
Right. But I never had to roll my old blunt, so... I like the cones, though,
because
I feel like I'm really doing something.
You smoke cigarettes, too?
No, never smoked a cigarette.
Nice. That's what's up. Yeah. So what's your judgment? Oh, no. So what I was trying to ask before was, how do you think your podcast is going to compare to the Joe Budden one? Because it'll be interesting to see you. You know, you put out songs against him, but it'll be interesting to see you guys sort of facing off in the same landscape.
Well, my podcast is called Bizarre World. It's going to be about, like, a lot of crazy shit that's going on. So, I don't know if we're going to be in the same lane. I'm like on, like, prank calling motherfuckers. And, you know, calling massage parlors and trying to make appointments and type shit. That's the type of, my shit is going to be like some weirdo jackass type shit.
Right.
But, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be a face-off, though. It could turn, especially after this interview.
I mean, dude, but prank calls used to be the shit.
Oh,
and people don't really do that anymore.
Shit.
That shit was great, especially when you would hear somebody prank call somebody famous. That was always fucking great.
Right. I just did a prank call a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I like prank calls.
Remember, like, Adam Sandler used to put out, like, entire comedy albums? That was a big part of my childhood. I was listening to his shit in, like, 97.
Oh, shit.
And it's just all these comedy albums, and he's like pretending to be a goat, and he's like getting kicked, thrown out of the truck or whatever. It's like, what happened to that? That would be great if that could happen now. Right. I don't know. I think
we're too hot, man.
Yeah, we're high. No, but okay. Here's my question though: is what's your judgment of MGK's career and how that whole beef panned out?
His career, I think it was up and down, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but for the most part, it was cool. I think he might have got more blackball for being white and being down with Puffy.
Uh-huh.
It just seemed kind of
Do you think Eminem blackballed him? That's part of his whole big complaint.
I don't know. I never heard anything like that before.
Uh-huh. But do you think Eminem's the type of dude who would want to blackball a fellow Caucasian rapper from the industry because he tweeted about how his underage daughter was hot?
White or white crime.
See, that's the funny thing about them having beef is that I notice a lot of dudes like Vince Staples. I think Vince Staples is one of the funniest dudes in rap.
I like Vince Staples. Shout out to Vince Staples.
He's hilarious.
He another motherfucker that say anything he wants to say.
His analysis of Eminem versus MGK was just so good because, you know, he's really from the hood and shit. So it's like
both of them niggas need to go meet up at Cracker Barrel and eat dinner together and squash it out, cuz.
Because it's like for him, it's kind of like, you know, it just really doesn't seem that serious. It's like he knows nobody's going to get hurt in this one.
That's real. Hopefully. One thing I will say about the younger generation, like nothing serious to them.
Mm.
Maybe we need to calm the fuck down. Like even with this Joe Budden shit, like nothing serious to these kids. They can say whatever to each other, do whatever, fuck each other bitches. And this shit is cool.
No, but people really get beat up and shit, I feel like.
Oh.
I don't know. There's always people getting their chains stolen, houses broken into with all these younger rappers and shit.
That motherfucker was going to all y'all house, though. The motherfuckers was raiding everybody's house. They had a list.
Uh-huh.
See that shit?
Who?
The dudes that was breaking into everybody's famous house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had like a list.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was next, man.
I'm down. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, when I look at the MGK thing, now that all the dust has settled, I feel like it was never going to turn out that good because Eminem's just too beloved for it.
He did better than I thought he was going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't deny and say the track when it was good. I liked it. You know what I'm saying? He took his time. He really thought it out. He erased lines. He wrote them again. He asked his boy for help, and he did good. He did great. I mean, he should look at this as a win, you know, to resurrect his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. But boy,
the repercussions. You started a little meme right there.
Wow, I know, man. But boy, shorts, man.
Okay, so what about the Jay Electronica thing? I forget why he was even involved in that whole thing. Like, why you even felt the need to call him out?
Another disloyal ass, fool ass, bitch motherfucker.
Oh, so no, you had a relationship with him?
Yeah, he Jay Electronica used to live in Detroit. His name was, I knew him as, what was his name? Jareed? I think his name was Jareed. Don't quote me, man, on his name. Uh-huh. But he used to be around us. You know, he was signed to Mr. Porter,
uh-huh.
the guy from ND12 that makes the beats.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he was just like a little runner. You know, go to the store, help out, do whatever. And then, you know, he came, you know, successful, became Jay Electronica. But I know you. That's why I said, is it Jareed's the one that... They used to carry the bags.
Uh-huh.
The one that used to sleep on the floor and called the nine dad.
But so is that...
He ain't called him dad. But
is it hard for you to think of him as like a real rapper because you knew him as when he was a little runner?
Yeah, I respect him. I respect his grind, but he clout chasing. He's just trying to get in the middle of this shit. Like, I don't know where... Like, anybody that's in my crew, in my gang, I don't understand where you get your thinking from. Like, you're from us. You know what I'm saying? You're from our crew. You're from our whole network. You know what I'm saying? So why where the fuck you come in with some random ass, hey, man, you better watch out, you such and such, and some shit about Suge Knight and two. What are you talking about?
What did he even say, though?
He said some shit like Marshall should have, you know, he shouldn't have said that line about Diddy because he should be talking about Jimmy Iovine. Jimmy Iovine has something to do with Pac's murder or something. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, right.
What are you talking about, man? What the fuck are you really talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, shit, your family will kill you quick before, you know, these strangers will, man. So another guy who I just feel like should clout chase him, man. You know, for the views, man.
What's your read on his career? Why he never put a project out?
Because he's fucking crazy, man.
Was that your read on him back in the day, too?
I didn't really know him like that. I know he was, you know, he was a cool guy, kind of very talkative, you know what I'm saying? Talkative guy, you know?
He had a real wave, but it was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He had a moment where if he had, like, really capitalized on it, it felt like he could have had, like, some huge success. But
I know he did, like, an album in South Africa, then he did one in London.
And he never put any of it out?
Listen, man, let me tell you one thing. If you got a rapper who don't want to do a fucking album in the country, it's something a little, they're fucking crazy, man.
Right. I mean, it's a big opportunity.
He wasted a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Think about it. The studio time, the studio costs in South Africa is probably triple because they're building a label.
Mm-hmm.
And the people you got to, let me shut up, man. I'm talking about nonsense.
Nah, but it is weird to even think about, like, what the fuck is going on with them? But I mean, I was talking to an A&R one time, and he was just saying that with a huge percentage of rappers, like, he's just like, they just don't want to win. They don't want to win. They make decisions that go against what would get them into the right place. And actually, you know, that's something that I one time heard somebody say when talking about M. They said, he's the only dude that I've ever seen who really had all the talent and then actually really did all the work and actually made all the right moves and stuff and never went against his own best interests. He never, you know, he always moved smart and actually had the talent and actually capitalized on it. And I was thinking about it, you know, usually people's careers get derailed by like their own ego or drugs or whatever.
Right.
He's like one of the few people that really stayed the course.
Absolutely right. 100%.
And that's a rarity.
Yeah, very rare, man. Even with my career. Rappers are stubborn, man. Sometimes they don't want to listen, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I had to learn the hard way at the beginning. Getting smacked a couple of times.
What do you mean by that?
Shit, just, you know, following the advice of the manager.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they know best, man. But sometimes, like you said, our egos get involved and we think we fucking know it all. And then next thing you know, you get that smack in the face.
Are there any particular incidents that stand out to you where you, like, did something in your career that you really regret or that where you should have made a more adult decision or something?
Oh, man. I was addicted to hotels. So,
hotels.
I was addicted to hotels, man. I would stay at hotels more than I would stay at my own house, man. I just got obsessed with the way of a rapper living, like.
Right.
So, you know, the food, the room service, the jacuzzis.
That is nice. I like that too. Yeah.
A bitch cleaning your room every day.
Just saying from like a money perspective.
It was like hella costly. You know what I'm saying? Like I was at a hotel for like 6 months one time.
Really?
There.
Just balling out.
My house is basically like my storage area. I come home, see the lights and gas still on, feed the dog, and head back to the room, man.
See, I would think most people blow more money on the things that they do in hotel rooms.
Yeah, I mean, room service is costly than a motherfucker. You know, I stayed at the Le Parc for like 2 months.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That shit like $300-$400 a night. You know what I'm saying? You order a room service and you getting into jacuzzis and, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Me and my girl were just buying flights to Tokyo, and it's like $700 for the regular seats, $2,000 for like a little bit better seats, and like $5,000 for first class. And I was like, bitch, we are doing $700 for these seats. I do not give a fuck. My back's going to hurt the whole time, but we are paying $700. That's a steal. $2,000, fuck that shit. And $5,000, fuck that shit. I'm like, I'm not doing that shit.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. See, I think like you.
Yeah.
I think like you, man. Like, I would be on the road, man, and I would ask for, you know, jacuzzi suites as part of my rider.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And they would tell me, like, well, that's going to be like an extra $300. You know, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Jacuzzi suite.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we are alike but different in the same way.
Yeah. I mean, nah, balling out is great. I think I spent like $2,000 in the strip club.
Wow.
Last night.
Now, see, I can't do that.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that.
I can't do that. I need to get straight to the point.
Right.
I need to get straight to the point. That's why a lot of these strip clubs got like fucking massage parlors next to it.
Really? Okay.
Straight to the point, man. I mean, I can't throw $2,000 on a bitch and she just leaves me my dick hard.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting too old for that feeling. Nah, I respect that a lot. Because, like, what would you be doing pussy-wise on the road if you weren't getting hookers? You'd be, like, chasing after some weird-ass fan right, chick with, like,
right.
red hair.
Right, who's going to fucking come back to bite you in the ass and he did this and he did this and he touched me and I didn't ask for it. Some old.
You ever get accused of anything?
Nothing. Okay. Never. I help bitches out. I help dancers in distress. Like,
right.
If I see a chick, like, not happy or something's not going wrong with her, I mean, right with her, I'll try to fix that shit.
Captain Save-A-Ho.
But I'm saving you, too. I'm saving everybody. Like, one time I seen this chick, she was, like, fucking in the lobby, like, oh, your DJ kicked me out of his room. I have nowhere to go. I have no money. I can't get home. I live an hour and a half away from here.
So you let her sleep over?
No, I got her Uber.
Oh, that was nice.
But I saved his ass and my ass.
So he fucked her and just kicked her the fuck out?
Man. But I saved his ass and my ass because it's not going to say him. It's going to say Bizarre.
You got to get her the Uber pool on the way back.
The pool?
That's the way to do it.
I hate the pool. Oh.
No, yeah, but it's for her. It ain't for us.
So you want me to get her a pool so she can get in there with somebody else that's drunk?
Just to let her know that what it is like, I'm going to save like $14 by getting you the pool. I mean, Lil Pump had a lyric where he said, I'm a millionaire, but I'll Uber pool a bitch. And I just really, like, I know that he would do that. And I thought that stood out to me as a good bar.
Wow. Have you think he ever Uber pooled a bitch?
I believe it for sure.
Wow. Lil Pump. The pool, you couldn't pay the extra $2?
Here's this test of
I don't think he did that.
I believe he would do it for sure.
Uber pool.
He's a scumbag.
You got to keep these bitches under wraps. Right. Because that's the type of shit that they're going to talk about. That motherfucker Uber pooled me. And he live in. This is his house number and his address.
That's what you gotta look out for.
Yeah, when you could have just saved $2 and got her in a regular Uber.
I feel like at a certain level as a rapper these days, they make girls start signing non-disclosure agreements before they come in their house and shit. I feel like Lil Pump's on that level.
Yeah, definitely, but it's hard to do it in the heat of the moment.
Oh, yeah. Sign this form. I've never done it. Me and my girl have talked about it.
She's like, what?
I think there's like an app. Like an app, so you don't have to actually bust out the piece of paper, but there's like an app that the girl can sign in, and then you take a picture of her holding it.
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
That's extra. If your dick doesn't fall down during that.
Man, that is crazy, man. Non-disclosure agreement. Print it out, ready to go. You should have like a stack at your house, maybe.
That'd be fire. Yeah, or they always have like security guards to confiscate the phones and shit.
They gonna break the shit anyway, though.
Right. You ever get into anything like really grimy on the road? You got any good stories about like just the absolute most filthy shit that you've gotten into on the road?
Oh, man. Man, I've been through so much crazy shit. Man, I just did a show yesterday. A motherfucker, I got there and he had the fucking Bates Motel ready for me.
What's that?
Like some Grammy ass shit, like the janky promoter type shit.
Okay.
Some outside rooms, prostitution, heavy going on.
Really?
Yeah. But no, I'm sorry, let me think. That ain't nothing. Some Grammy shit. Man, you know our fan base is very, very wild.
That's what I'm thinking.
So
a weird group.
Me and my guy King Gordy, we had a show one time, and this fucking guy jumped from the top row into the crowd, and he started yelling, Gordy! Gordy! And Gordy, I guess he wasn't paying him attention or something or whatever. The dude got upset, and he fucking lit his head on fire.
Lit his own head on fire?
While the police dragged him out. I mean, not the police, security dragged him out.
What the fuck?
Yo, we got some wild fans, man.
Lighting your own hair on fire. I never thought of that one.
Man. Then I had a dude that fucking, I mean, he basically did a standoff in front of our bus, tour bus, and he basically said if I didn't come out, he wasn't getting the fuck out the way. So, you know, the shit went on for like 30 minutes. And they finally woke me up. I was in the bunk sleep like, yo, man, please. He was like, I'm not leaving till I see Bizarre. So, you know.
Run them over.
Man.
Right?
Man. I've been sued before, man. I can't do that, man. I can't. I was sued for beating up a guy I wasn't even there at. I wasn't even there at the place at all.
They said you sent him or something?
No, he said I was there.
Oh. And you had to prove you weren't there?
Yeah, 50,000 later.
Right.
Courts, doc, you know, lawyers and.
Wait, so what happened with this guy who was blocking the bus, though? Did you have to go out there and tell him?
Yeah, I came out there and gave him a picture and an autograph.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And told him what was up.
Man. That's why you have to have the security guard to go out there and grab him and throw him the fuck out of there.
Sometimes security make it worse.
Yeah.
Really, I like a chill security. Let me tell you when I'm in danger.
Right.
Don't ever assume I'm in danger.
When you have had to have security, do you prefer to be like more one of the homies?
Yeah and no. Yeah, no. I think they should work together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know in LA they like to use a lot of cops out here.
Mm.
But the cops are helpful out here because you might run into some cop shit.
Mm-hmm.
You could flash that badge.
Right.
And as far as the homies, yeah, I prefer the homies because they going off of your energy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They seeing who what, whatever. A security guard, he's just in straight tough mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like a fucking horse with blinders.
Mm-hmm.
He can't see anything on the side of him. He's just looking straight. So all he knows, hey, who is you? I don't know you. Hey, you know, where the fuck you going? And then next thing you know, it's one of his homies. And nigga then gotten, you know, he doing an interview and his homies out there scuffling and they didn't beat the security guard ass.
You see 6ix9ine rolling around with like this insane security force?
I know some of the security that he with. He with the real boys.
Yeah.
He with the real team, like them motherfuckers.
It's like CIA level shit.
Like they got earpieces in their ear, they know everything.
But they really are trying to kill him out here. Like fucking his video shoot got shot up yesterday.
I know. That was crazy, man.
It's wild.
Gotta be safe, man. Especially in LA, man.
He like actually seems like he needs that much security, which is the crazy part about it.
You do.
Yeah.
Shit, you got a target on his back.
Yeah. What's your feelings on him in general?
Man, I think it's genius what he's doing, you know. Mm. Shit, you know? What could I say, man, you know? I don't know.
He's like an expert level troll.
He good at what he do.
I think that the thing that people miss about 6ix9ine too is that part of his genius is that I think he has never really like written his own songs or given a shit about that at all. So he's always just been about
what'd you say here, right here, write his own song?
I've met people that like have just said that from the beginning he wasn't writing his own stuff, and I've like heard a lot of stuff about him like getting songs written for him these days and stuff. And I think that that's one thing that stands out about him is that he's got this whole image, but then when it comes to actual songs, he's willing to actually go that route that a lot of like singers and big stars go, where they just will have songs written for him, and that's what's like. I mean, he's really kind of like doing crazy numbers of, you know, really, really well streaming popular songs. Like I feel like he's kind of like a rap, like Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, I can see that. You know,
you know,
he don't give a fuck about what lane he goes.
Exactly. He's not trying to do like real hip hop shit at all. He's putting out these fucking Latin ass songs that like you know, it doesn't even sound anything like what we'd expect from him. But it's a popping song, and he can kind of pull it off vocally or whatever.
Right.
I mean, he's just like playing the game in a way that. People compare him to 50 a lot, and I was a huge 50 stan. Like, I was just watching 50's career, like, just in awe the whole time. And I really think that is like a really apt comparison, because nobody else in the history of rap, in my opinion, have ever really like used beef in the way that 50 did and that 6ix9ine is now.
Right. It's just crazy, right?
That was the best era. The 50 Ja Rule, Eminem, D12, all that bullshit, shenanigans, right. All these fucking mixtapes, DJ Green Lantern and shit.
Yeah, that shit was real, though. Like, we was really, man, we know, we started fucking with 50, man. We was riding around with bulletproof vests on, man.
Mm.
Shit was real.
Right. People wanted to kill him.
Right, man. I remember I had mine on. That shit was too hot, man. I'm a big dude, man. I'm like, man, I gotta take this hot shit off, man. I started peeling out that motherfucker, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. We was riding around with bulletproof Suburbans, bulletproof fucking body armor. You know what I'm saying? That shit was real, man.
That was a wild time to look back on.
Yeah, the beef era.
Yeah,
yeah. The beef era, where you fucking do award shows, and like if you ever go to an award show, they got the seating before,
mm-hmm.
and they have the people that's beefing like far apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They even won't even fucking tell them to come at the same time. They'll make sure they're far as possible.
So they wouldn't let you sit next to Irv Gotti.
Hell no, fuck no. Hell no. I mean, but I was at the Source Awards when everything popped off.
Right.
It was like a million fights.
Yeah. Did you get in on any of them?
No, we from Detroit, man. So we just got signed. We was just in amazement. We were just looking like, damn, that's E-40. Damn, that's Shug. Damn, that's, damn. Like, you know, but us being from the D, we just, you know, we had no beef with nobody in particular. So, I mean, shit was just fun to watch, man. But motherfuckers is really getting at motherfuckers back then, man. Like, there's no way you're going to be at the same show as I am, and I'm not going to fucking check you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how it was. And then our era, motherfuckers was coming deep. Motherfuckers coming in 50 deep at the BET Awards.
Right.
All that shit, motherfuckers coming deep. And then the motherfuckers.
How the fuck do you even get to the point where they let you bring 50 dudes into an awards show? You must have. You got to have a lot of clout.
Well, we did. We used to have like maybe 15 with us, and then we would have like three riders.
Uh-huh.
Three truckloads of dudes outside just parked.
Right.
Just in case.
Right.
Stand by.
Swarm this place.
15 passenger. They coming out. They came all the way from Detroit to
name a rapper California. You beat up.
Oh, man. Man, I don't want to bring up the past, man. But
come on.
I ain't going to say beat up. We have altercations with, shit, we had a this rapper named Esham from Detroit.
Right. Oh, yeah. What year are we talking when you fought?
Oh, man, it's like 2004 or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so this is kind of real early on.
Yeah, yeah. But he the homie now, though. That's the homie, though.
I bet you wish that you ever.
I got into two fights with him.
You never caught a fade with Shaggy Too Dope?
No. You know, they faces painted, so.
Right.
I never knew what they looked like.
I've seen a couple of pictures of them with no makeup, though.
Yeah, I didn't get to see them until we got, like, grown.
Right.
To actually see who they were.
You're cool with them now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We all cool now, man. You know, it's Detroit versus everybody, man.
Yeah. That would have been fire, though, if you fucking just caught a Shaggy 2 Dope fade.
Oh, man.
Was there ever a point in your life where it was like, if I see those motherfuckers, it's on sight? Definitely, because they were going at each other hard, man.
Yeah, it was that at that point. But like I said, we never knew who we were beefing with because their face was painted.
You don't want to go to war with all the Juggalos, man.
Oh, hell no.
That's an army.
The Juggalos is the family now, man.
Yeah.
And they going to get on your ass.
I know. I'm shook, bro. I was really fucking with them because, like, 97 when they came out. You remember how that happened? When they were signed by, I forget the label, it was, like, owned by Disney. They put their album out and got recalled right away. So it was, like, huge news. It was on MTV all day. Right. And, like, me and my friends, that made us want to go listen to it. And so we were listening to it for, like, a couple years there. I was fucking with ICP.
Oh, shit.
97, 98.
Shout out to ICP. Shout out to Twisted.
Twisted. Did they leave?
Yep.
They left Psychopathic, huh?
Yep. They that Magic sucks. Ninja now. Got their own shit.
Who do you really fuck with in the rap game these days, like on a personal level, like rappers that you really get along with and shit?
Shit. I'm the OG, man. I fuck with everybody, man.
Yeah.
I fuck with, the Detroit rappers. Sada Babies, the T Grizzlies. I don't really know T Grizzly, but Shit. The young guys, Rico Reckless.
Rico Reckless. That boy is a fool. I love him.
Shout out to Rico.
He's out of his damn mind.
Shout out to Rico, man.
His interview that we did went crazy viral, and he's fucking just smoking blunts in front of his 8-year-old kid and shit. Oh, shit. Like, people just did not know what the fuck to think of that thing.
Yeah, man. What did you think? It was too much.
I mean, for me, as somebody who, like, never even saw my parents smoke a cigarette or anything, it seems kind of crazy. But then, I mean, after a while, I'm like, I don't know how Rico would be able to live his life and hide his kid from all these elements of his life. But then also, like, I don't know, he's just talking about women in a way around his kid that I just can't imagine is good for him to, like, grow up hearing shit like that. I don't know.
Made you a little uncomfortable.
I mean, I just, like, when I look at my sister and the way she raises her kids, it's just so different than the way that Rico's kid is growing up. But at the same time, Rico's kid's, he's going to be a little bit more prepared for the world.
Yeah.
You got any kids?
Yeah, I got a daughter, man. I got a daughter. She's 12.
12?
Yeah. She's 12, man. Shit, time is flying.
What's your relationship with the mother like?
There is none.
No relationship?
No relationship.
So how often do you get to see the kid?
Oh, she lives with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Full custody.
So is the mom just gone?
No, she's not gone. She gets her on the holidays.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to the strong dads out there, man.
So are you doing all of the fatherly duties?
Oh, everything, man. Yep.
Wow.
Everything, mom and dad.
12's a rough age, though. She's starting to talk to boys and shit. That's going to be weird.
He's talking boys. He talking back. He talking shit. Man.
What's she into? Like, she watched, like, weird YouTube videos of some girls that we don't know about or something?
You gotta check that tablet, man.
Do you even know, like, what she's watching?
Oh, yeah. I always busting in the room, and, you know, I check her tablet, check her history and shit, who the fuck she's following, who the fuck's following her.
Does she grasp what her father has done with his life?
Man, I hope not, man.
Have you ever had that conversation?
Man, I don't really think she really knows what I do, man. She, you know, she don't express it. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean,
I guess I'm gonna have to do that one day, right?
Yeah, because 12 is a weird age, because it's like, I would think by 16 she's definitely gonna understand. But I mean, she has to know you're a rapper. But does she just think that's normal?
She knows I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? So every time she see a video, she's like, "Dad's crazy. Like, Dad's insane." You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, I'm crazy just around the house. So.
Right.
You know, I guess she knows that part, but you know, sometimes it's hard to ride in the car, and then sometimes they get in the car and then you realize you had some shit on, especially my own shit. I'm playing it, and then I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I gotta turn it down, cause.
So have you always tried to hide that side of your life from your kid?
No, I just try to let them look at the videos that's PG-13 type shit.
Right, but are you ever like grocery shopping and somebody has to take a photo with you and then they're kind of confused?
Definitely, all the time. Like, why do they keep asking you for a picture?
Yeah.
You must know a lot of people. But not you fully get it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But shit is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Got some weird fans, man.
Yeah, definitely. Some juggalos.
It's insane Eminem fans.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfuckers they die hard, man. They'll never leave you, man. Never.
This is kind of like super out of order with this overall interview, but from your perspective, let's go back to like the Slim Shady LP coming out.
Okay.
Where were you at in your life observing this, and what was going through your head?
Slim Shady EP.
So like when he first, you know, gets signed to Dre, puts a fucking album out, all of a sudden he's the biggest rapper in the world.
I was in Dallas, Texas. Working at a fucking shitty ass security job, and I was on my lunch break eating a donut, and I was doing a round around the hospital, and he called me, and was like, they said, "Mr. Johnson, you have a call back in the security guard office," and I went back there, and I was like, "Hello," like I'm mad as fuck, cause who the fuck's calling me at work? I'm like, "Hello," he's like, "Biz, what's up? This Marshall." I'm like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "Yo, I'm in L.A. right now." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, man, just got signed to Dr. Dre, Aftermath." I was like, "Man, you're bullshit." He was like, "Yeah, I did, man. You got to come out here, man." I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna send for you tomorrow. So I fucking hung up the phone, told him I quit my job, went home and told my mom that I was moving to LA at 18.
And she said,
what the fuck are you talking about?
But were you completely sure that M's career was going to work out and that you were going to, that this was going to work?
I didn't give a fuck.
It was an opportunity.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I got on a flight and I went there and I stayed for like a week. And then this label called me from Detroit and wanted to sign me. So I was like, yo, I got to go back I want to go to the D. He's like, what are you talking about? I just got signed. I was like, but you got signed. You know what I'm saying? I got to get my shit together. So I flew to Detroit. And then I signed to this label called Federation Records.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I worked on my shit. And he was out in L.A. doing his shit. So then, you know, we just had this pact that whoever gets on first come back and get everybody else.
Right.
So, you know, once he got on, bam, he came and got us. So, so by the time, you know, he got his label on and was ready to sign D12, I had already had a buzz.
Uh-huh.
And Atlantic tried to sign me. But I said, I'm going to go to any label that where Marshall went, because he was in a bidding war with Atlantic and Interscope about which label was going to do the label deal with him.
Right.
So Atlantic had already wanted to sign me. So Jimmy Iovine, he matched Atlantic's deal. So Shady went to Interscope.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, shit, I'm going wherever you go. So I went to Interscope. 12.
Yeah. What's the state of D12 as is?
Oh, man.
Because he had the whole song about it this time around. He said it was dead. was that weird for you to hear? Was that a surprise?
I had already heard it before.
Okay.
Yeah, I had already heard it. But, you know, hearing it and then, like, hearing it, like, alone, like, when the fans just, like, crying emojis and shit, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, am I high, man?
Why did D12 have to formally die? Do you feel that when Proof died that it was dead because he was sort of the one that held it all together?
Well, it was his idea. The way D12 was set up was it was six rappers with two personalities. Mm-hmm. And it was like an all-star team. So it said, like, you say we want to get fucking Lil Xan, Lil Pump, such and such.
You're trying to put it in terms that I'll understand.
Yeah.
You dumb white ass.
and they become an all-star team.
Right.
But the project is so dope that they just become a real group.
Right.
That's what happened with D12.
Right.
So Proof orchestrated all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was his baby. It was his idea. It was his everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had two group members that passed away in the group, and one passed away the day we got signed. So that's when Marshall decided, yo, I'm gonna come in and be an active member, because he was just gonna executive produce the album. He wasn't really supposed to rap in the group like that. So then, you know, he became an active member, and we just started rolling. So, you know, at the end of the day, for a long time, like, you know, Marshall, he don't really tour a lot. So just take him out the equation. That's one popular guy. That's the basically, you know. Then you take, okay, you take Denine. He's a producer that, you know, he was doing Dr. Dre's albums, 50 Cent, anybody you can think of in the industry. So he didn't tour. Bam, that's two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Proof passed away. Then that's three. So now you got D6.
Yeah.
Which is me, Swift, and Conniver.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you know, we can give y'all that, but it's always going to be, what's up with Denine? What's up with Marshall? And they had points in their career to where they doing so much other shit that they don't have time to play a position in the group.
Right.
And, you know, shit, I'm kind of busy too myself, you know what I'm saying, with the Strand and porno shit, and you know what I'm saying? And
porno shit. What are you doing porn exactly?
Oh, man. Race porn, man.
What? Race porn? Race porn?
No. Shout out to my boy King Gordy, man. We was having a talk. I know this is totally off the subject, but we was having a talk one day about like porn fucking categories and what porn did you like. And he just broke out with a fucking serious ass face and he was like, race porn. I was like, what? He was like, I fuck with race porn. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I like to see pornos where white women are calling black men niggers. I was like, give me an example. He was like, yeah, fuck me with your black nigger.
Have you seen this now? I haven't actually. I would feel real racist watching this. I don't think I should watch this.
I haven't seen it yet, man, but.
Wow.
But, man, I didn't even know that category existed, man.
That's, what do you have to pay a girl to, like, put that on her track record? Because then for the rest of her life, people are going to be busting that video out anytime she says anything.
Oh, wow. So I know some porn stars out here that fucked their career.
See, I thought you were going to go the other way because I remember when I first really started to get online, like 2003, 2004, I remember I saw this website where the whole theme of the website was it was these skinhead dudes with like fucking Nazi signs tattooed on them and shit, fucking black girls calling them the N-word.
Oh, that's race porn.
I mean, that's like the other way, yeah. But it was very offensive. And I don't know if they still do that or anything.
Apparently they do, man.
I mean, yeah, shit. Wait, what kind of porn are you into?
Oh, man, I like, I don't know, man. I like a lot of girl porn, man.
I thought you said gore.
Gore.
Cutting gore. People's heads off and shit.
Gore. Bitches. I like bitches, man.
Fair enough.
Bitches own bitches.
Confirmed. Yeah. Bizarre, heterosexual.
Heterosexual.
Big hetero.
And a transsexual one testicle.
How often do you wear a shower cap these days?
Man.
That was swag right there.
I don't know. That was swag before swag.
Before swag was even around. Before drip was around.
Right. That was drip for real.
That was real drip.
I mean, literally. That's why
literally
I wear it.
Holding in the drips of water. Yeah. Right.
Could you imagine performing for an hour with a fucking shower cap on?
No.
A plastic shower cap?
I don't even
know
if I've ever had a shower cap on.
Yeah. Well, I did it as a joke, our first show. It was, yeah, we had a show and shit. And I wanted to be funny. And we was in like a Super 8 motel. And they had like, you know, like the little shower caps that come in the little package and shit. And I tore it open. I put it on my head for a joke. And, you know, everybody started laughing. And Mark LaBelle, which is Emma's road manager, was like, that shit's dope. I fucks with that.
Branding.
And the next show we had, he had like 100 shower caps there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that was back in the throwback era. So then I had a stylist that was making a shower cap for every throwback I had. Mm-hmm. Every team I had a shower cap.
That's hard.
That was hard.
I felt like it was just like good from like a branding perspective. You got to have something to make yourself stand out. That's why a lot of people miss about all the face tattoo shit and the crazy stupid hair. Is that at the end of the day, it's like a lot of these rappers are making you remember them by having such a distinctive look.
Right. You got to brand yourself. You can't be like everybody else.
Yeah.
What makes your story different from a thousand other rappers?
Yeah.
But now these motherfuckers, they don't give a fuck. They don't give no
fuck. What's your view on the rap game as like an OG? You just look into this shit and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with these kids?
Oh, man. I think they're... They get it more than we get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I came out, dude, when I used to take my shirt off on stage, it was like, what the fuck is he doing? But now, you think a big dude would be scared to take their shirt off? Man, motherfuckers taking their shirt off. They going in into grocery stores, smacking the clerk, taking, you know, running butt naked down the street.
Yeah.
Like, it's on steroids, nah. Mm. You know, motherfuckers... It's almost like if you don't do nothing, you're not normal.
Yeah. Now it's tough to stand out unless you're doing a bunch of goofy ass shit.
That's what it is. Everybody fucking fighting. They're battling for them likes, man. Mm-hmm. They need it.
Right.
They need it's a drug. They have to have it, man.
The clout. Clout is a drug.
Man, the clout drug. Man, give me some of that.
That's that good shit.
Man. Yeah.
I don't know, like so. What are you motivated by at this point in your life? What gets you excited, or what are you passionate about working on?
Man, I'm passionate about my label, man. I just started a label called Redhead Records. My first artist is this kid named Danny Mills out of Detroit. And I'm passionate on that, man, because like I want to put some rappers on, man. I want to be responsible for some of these rappers' careers, because I see the mistakes they're making. Mm-hmm. They're making a lot of mistakes, man. So shit, that's where I'm at.
Are you passionate about Detroit in general? Is there something about it that you never want to leave? You always want to like help people from there?
Well, I live in Atlanta, so I left.
Oh, so you left? Yeah. Whoops.
But I'm there every like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I guess I didn't leave. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely want to help, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a prideful thing, man. Like I really believe that shit, Detroit versus everybody, man. You know, I really want to help put motherfuckers on and be the OG I'm supposed to be.
What do you like about Atlanta so much?
Quiet. Peace and quiet. Drama free. Mm-hmm. You know, that shit that Boosie said about the rapper getting killed in their own city, that shit really real. Mm-hmm. So, motherfuckers not knowing where you live at, where you from, or, you know. And it's cool, man.
You stay out of the bullshit? Like, you don't go, like, try to hang out with Future in Atlanta? I don't know why that's funny. It's like, a lot of shit's going on in Atlanta, though. You don't have FOMO? Like, damn, I wish I was...
I have the ability to zip in and out. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I know Zaytoven and you know all the producers and
shout out Zay.
You know,
I love Atlanta from that perspective. That when I go there, I just be going to mad studios and just like
it's studio hopping,
mixing it with mad people, networking. Right. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, they studio hop. So you know, I know where the studio's at. Mm. But they all tell me, man, you need to get out more. You need to come out, man. You know what I'm saying? But I guess I feel more comfortable in Detroit. Mm. You know, I don't really got a crew in Atlanta.
Right.
So when I'm in Detroit, I'm with 15, 20 dudes all the time.
Yeah. Just ganged up.
You know what's so crazy? Detroit, they judge you on how many dudes you're with. Mm. And we used to do this shit in St. Andrews when we were young. Like we could watch from the top balcony as people come in. And you know they at the front when motherfuckers is getting searched, and we would like sometimes count. Damn, dude, they got 37 dudes with them.
Yeah,
they deep in the motherfucker, and they would judge you on how deep you were back in the day. To the point, motherfuckers would bring U-Haul trucks to concerts.
I mean, that's like what you have to go on to a certain extent. Now a lot of times it's the security flex. Like 6ix9ine walking around with 7 dudes surrounding them, that's the big flex, because it's like, look, I don't even have to have friends.
Yeah.
But my life is so valuable and it is protected by this crew of fucking CIA level security guards.
Right.
It's a weird world.
What about 7 years from now when it's not as popular?
When the money runs out. Yeah. It's gonna be weird.
Man. But I mean, I see why you do it.
I mean, he's making a lot of money, so I guess maybe he doesn't have to worry too much for now, but...
And he got a lot of shit going on, too, with cases and shit. And,
yeah.
You know, really need to chill out from the OG perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, shit, man. You got to roll around like that, though. If you got that kind of play. You should have just got shot up.
Yeah, yeah.
With the video shoot.
What was it like during that time, though, when you were rolling around fucking... And there was just that real threat of violence. Like, was that just did that strike you as like a bad time, or was it worth it? Was it fun?
It wasn't fun to me because I like to fucking hang out with everybody. You know,
right.
Every time I go to every city, I'm like leaving the show, going to somebody's house, and like they party or they studio or whatever. So that I got a lot of rap homies, I know a lot of rappers. So, sometimes it was stressful because they didn't want you to move around like that. So, they once again, are you going to listen to your management and council, or are you going to say, fuck that, I'm going out?
You ever do drugs with anybody in G-Unit that you want to tell me about?
I don't think nobody in G-Unit do drugs. Nobody.
If you did coke with Tony Yeo, that'd be pretty fire, right? Did you ever buy drugs from anyone in G-Unit? Because I feel like Young Buck would be like trying to serve you or something, right?
No, all of them just smoke weed.
Okay.
Yeah. Buck smoke weed. That's my homie.
But 50 was capping, right? He made get high all the time, and he wasn't even smoking weed.
I never smoked a blow 50 before.
I mean, I've heard that he smokes weed now or something, but at that time when he made that song, he definitely didn't smoke weed, and he was just making a song.
Man, well, Bizarre did all the drugs for everybody. Didn't do it.
50 to the steroids that you didn't do.
I did all the drugs, man.
Yeah. You got any regrets?
Any regrets? Hell no. We had fun, man. We party like rock stars for real, man.
You ever overdose?
Nah. Nope.
None even close?
Never. Never. I know when it stopped, man.
You never felt like you were like really addicted, like bad?
I felt like I needed to party. I mean, I cutting down on partying.
Mm-hmm.
And, give it a certain time to do it. Cut back. Because if you don't, you will be dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess I'll say yeah.
People have this morbid fascination about M and like what he's like because he's so split off from like the normal rap world. Like, what do people not get about him or like what kind of person he is that explains why he's sort of able to have this insane level of stardom but also be like completely removed from hip hop aside from like the like 3 month album cycle every like year and a half or 2 years or whatever it is?
He's compulsive. He's compulsive. Like, this rap shit's so serious to him that, like, he just fucking sits around and think about how to get better or think about how to make this line tighter. And shit, we're talking about what's going on in the world.
But he doesn't care about any of that. He's just completely, he's still focused. And that's like the weird thing about him, I guess, from me even paying attention, is that he still thinks that like the content of his lyrics, the actual like lyrical ability is what he lives or dies on. Like, that's the most important thing. Whereas like most rappers, lyricism is a complete and total afterthought at this point in the game.
Right, right.
That makes him an extreme outlier, like that alone.
Right. Right.
And that's, being kind of compulsive about it, like you say, yeah. Like really being obsessed with the minutia of like really being a dope rapper is like, as much as rap is about rapping, it's not really that much about rapping because people right. don't normally.
How many rappers, include myself, go and redo their verses 3 times?
Yeah.
I'm being generous by saying it. I mean, 1 time. How many rappers just go and say, because, you know, the thing now, everybody say they don't write.
Mm.
Nobody writes. You just go in the booth, and whatever comes, comes. And then we just, what we do, split it up in lines. You know, my engineer over there, he's a young guy producer.
Punching in. You don't do that? You write the whole thing?
I'm old school. I got the pen and paper.
Mm.
You know how you're old school? Is when you fucking go to a studio and you leave your notebook with a pen and paper, and you go back 2 months later, and that pen and paper has not moved from that spot.
Why? Because people just respect it?
Because everybody's writing in their phones.
That's hilarious.
Ain't nobody borrowed a sheet. Ain't nobody fucking took it. Nothing.
That is true.
Man.
You still use the notebook?
Man, I still use a notebook, man. But I recently started, freestyling in the booth, just saying some bullshit, and the engineer likes it. That they were like, man, you keep that line.
Trying out being a mumble rapper?
I'm gonna try it, man. See what happens, man.
Well, like, I mean, I have some friends who like
trying out being a mumble rapper. Damn, that's a song. Oh, shit, that's my dude, Seagull.
I mean, all right, I'm friends with these dudes, Shoreline Mafia, and they write their whole verses out, and they go in and they basically do it like one take. They might like punch in a bar or two. And then I have a friend who did
Do they do ad-libs or backups or not?
They don't do ad-libs. They just double it.
Oh, okay.
But like, I have a friend who produced for him, and he convinced him to punch in on a song. Yeah. I was listening to it, and it's like, it's kind of crazy how different of a feel it has when somebody's punching in their bars. Because yeah. It's like, then there's no breath control going on or anything. It's like,
so you like it or you don't like it?
It's hard to say because I didn't really hear like a final song. But it's like, it is interesting how there's like kind of a case to be made. But a lot of dudes, like even old school rappers, that's one thing I realized from going to the studio with old school rappers who are like people consider super lyrical, is that like a lot of the super lyrical dudes are just completely punching in like crazy.
Completely.
Because it would be so fucking impossible to do those verses without punching in.
Right. I mean, I've been in the booth for 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
Before. Not by choice.
Right.
Doesn't want the perfectionist guy.
Right.
So,
but a lot of dudes really don't want people to know about what their process is because they're sort of,
right,
they consider it like it's a trade secret.
Right. And then the young guys don't know, they won't let you know what autotune they're using.
Mm.
Because then you are gonna sound the exactly vocal like kit. Them.
A lot of them are like, you know, like 6ix9ine, like that's, people forget about that. They don't know what the fuck 6ix9ine sounds like without his vocal set that he puts on everything that is like super distinctive, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Damn, that's deep.
It's deep. We're getting deep into the minutiae of hip hop.
Mumble rap.
I guess.
What was the name of my single again?
You know Juice WRLD? He's trying to FaceTime me right now. I'm interviewing Bazaar.
What up? What up?
What's good with you, bro? What's good?
Nice jewel, bitch.
Hey, bitch. Come over, nigga. After this.
Pause. But all right. I'll hit you once I'm done this interview. No
pause. Hey, Juice WRLD. His name is after Juice from the guy from Chicago.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what he said. I heard him say in the interview.
He's from Chicago, but I never understood that, especially because, isn't
that Juice the battle rapper?
Right. He named himself after him?
Yeah, you know, that Juice hard.
Yeah.
Juice hard.
I never knew that.
Yeah. But that's Juice, crazy. The new Juice is harder.
Right. You think he's harder?
Yeah, he's harder, but the other Juice is harder too.
He went from...
I said no pause in there. You ain't...
No pause.
Wrong for pauses?
I like saying no pause. Because like, that's like, I'm so, so straight that I don't even have to say pause. You feel me?
I would use that.
I'm not going to lie. I stole that from Ski Master Slump God. I heard him say that one time and I just thought it was funny.
Wow.
No pause.
Shout out to Ski Master for that one, man.
He's a goofball. All right. So what's your message to the world before we wrap up this interview? What's good?
Oh, man. Drug-free America, man. Get your drugs for free. Pill God 2 on the way, man. Bazaar. Podcast on the way. I'm never going to leave.
Ever.
Ever.
You're going to just keep terrorizing the world. And if they forget about you for a couple months, you're going to come out with some weird viral shit and just troll the world.
Oh, man. I don't even be trying, man.
It's just in you.
It's just in me, man. To be a fucking, I guess I really live up to my name, Bazaar, man. I'm a Bazaar motherfucker, man.
You think that that's going to be what it is, that you're going to be like 65 years old, still on Instagram saying some reckless shit, just fucking with the kids?
Man. Or if not, cheering for somebody that's 25-year-old that remind me of me.
Right. No, but I think that's like best case. That's better. Well, best case scenario is like, even if you're a crazy ass 65-year-old yelling on Instagram, shit, at least you're still out there.
Shout out to Gucci Berry. Gucci Berry is a 65-year-old.
Right.
Do you know who Gucci Berry is?
No.
The fat guy that does all the pranks on his, like, he like punches, people punch him in his nuts. And
I don't know, I gotta look him up.
Man.
I should have just admitted that I didn't know who it was right away because I look like a weirdo because I kind of tried to play along there for a second.
You know who Daddy Long Neck is?
Oh, I know him though, Long Neck Kid.
Yeah,
oh, he's like friends with him?
Yeah, they like buddies and shit.
I'll be honest, I haven't spent enough time looking at the Long Neck Kid. Pause.
Were you supposed to say no pause?
No pause. No, the Long Neck Kid, like... Oh, that sounds really gay.
Oh, man.
Fuck. All right. Well, hey, it was dope getting to have a conversation with you, bro.
Man, it was dope smoking a blunt with you, bro.
My man.
Let's do this.
My dude. All right. Shout out to everybody who watched this. This is Ben, No Jumper, with Bazaar. Peace.